L-E-T-E-N-P-C.
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 50% bonus on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome to hour number two, live right here on the Early Line on Sports Grid. It is a Tuesday. Following 1 week in the NFL, we look forward to the next week, number 11 on the horizon. A crucial week, Joe, with marquee matchups up and down the slate. It starts on Thursday, just 2 days from now, in the city of brotherly love in Philadelphia between the Eagles and the Commanders. So a lot to react to set the stage for the second half of this year and what remains in the National Football League. We will also get you set in this second hour for the second annual in-season tournament in the chase for the NBA Cup in the association. That begins tonight with some group play action. Once again, we get you caught up. We learn in real time all of the intricacies of the IST for a second year in the NBA.
Yeah, no, it's and you mix in a little action midweek football here, Ben. We've got once again a loaded slate here on a Tuesday heading into that week 11 battle between Washington and Philadelphia.
And it's not maybe the most robust weekend of college football, but a huge game in the SEC between Georgia and Tennessee that we will preview. Yep. How do the Bulldogs bounce back after their second loss of this season? Something that has not happened for UGA, that being two losses since 2020. All right, but we start with our reactions around the National Football League in one of our favorite games, buy or sell, for the burning questions. Following week number 10 and the start of the second half of this year and what lies ahead on the horizon in the National Football League. Joe, it's not just, I would say, a matter of if, it is only when, for a few head coaches that have seen the writing on the wall. Doug Peterson in Jacksonville, more than likely Mike McCarthy for sure in Dallas, and I really, really hope Matt Eberflus in Chicago. So let's compare those last two coaches that had some expectations entering this year. The Bears are 4-5. Look at the difference in terms of their points per game averaged offensively and what they are doing defensively. Oh boy, the Dallas Cowboys way worse, as the second worst scoring defense in the NFL, allowing nearly 29 points per game. But the buy or sell question in comparing the Bears and the boys, buy or sell, Gerinary, Mike McCarthy will be fired before Matt Eberflus.
Yeah, I am selling that, and I am selling it simply because Jerry Jones just came out on record to say he has no interest in making a coaching change during the season, and he actually referred back to the last time that he did that, which was back in the Wade days, if you remember that, Ben, where Wade Phillips, he fired him 9 weeks into his fourth season. And even though he had a winning overall record as the head coach of Dallas, he ended up doing it, and it didn't work out all that well from that point on for Dallas. So given all the injuries in Dallas as well, there is a built-in excuse for a lame duck coach. So I don't know that Jerry's going to pile on and fire him in season, but I do think Matt Eberflus, well, that's a different story altogether.
And so that's where I would agree with you as well. I'm going to sell it. Mike McCarthy, because he's a lame duck head coach with no additional years on his contract following the conclusion of this season, there's not much of a reason, despite how dreadful Dallas looked this season, to fire him before the year is through. You might be saying, why? Because the Cowboys know this internally. Heck, Mike McCarthy knows it internally. They are starting to make those moves already. You basically have an interim head coach as your permanent head coach and that's Mike McCarthy. It's the inverse of that option. There was not a guarantee that Matt Eberfluser would be fired. In fact, the opposite. Chicago brings him back for year number three because they won five of their final seven games. And his cup of tea for Eberfluser is the defensive side of the football. And the defense was a big reason why Chicago showed a sign of life ending last year in 2023 in the hope for a talented roster with a generational talent at quarterback in the additions offensively this offseason for what the Bears could be, a winning football team and perhaps a playoff team with a rookie quarterback. Of course, it is not going to be that. And Joe, here is why you fire Matt Eberflus yesterday, last week, frankly, at the end of the Hail Mary 3 weekends ago now against the Commanders. You have lost the locker room. The players do not respect the coaching staff, either offensively, defensively, or the head man. It's done. The resolve is gone. They have nothing. Dallas knows their time under Mike McCarthy is coming to a close. The Bears might not. And I'm not entirely sure what Mama Bear, as we saw Donnie do yesterday, or her son, George McCaskey, the chairperson of this Chicago franchise, or the president and CEO, Kevin Warren, are going to do. When you have those older owners, right, the legacy owners in the National Football League, they're not really as adept at changing on the fly. So are they going to dismiss a head coach midway through the year? That I'm not entirely sure. That's the only thing that would keep Mike McCarthy being fired before Matt Eberflus, because as soon as Black Monday comes at the end of week number 18 of the Sunday slate, Jerry Jones and the Cowboys fire Mike McCarthy right then and there on the spot, and Matt Eberflus is a couple of hours later.
Yeah, and see, the only difference in those two organizations is that, and I agree with you, I think there are other heads that will roll in Chicago before Eberflus, given the fact that we're already hearing about Waldron being stripped of his play calling duties. I mean, you have a number one draft pick that has not thrown a touchdown in over a month. That is not good. However, don't forget, Eberflus and his buddy general manager Ryan Poles, don't forget, they were the ones that gutted the entire staff to begin with over before they drafted Caleb Williams. They got rid of Luke Getsky, the offensive coordinator, even though Justin Fields showed signs of improvement last year. I do think that Eberflus, if he is fired at the end of the year, I think he's fired. I think so is the general manager. I think it's a package deal with those two. I don't think it's just he's going to fire Eberflus and they're going to keep Ryan Poles. I think there's a cleaning house happening in Chicago at the end of the year. I don't think it happens in season, whereas we already know the lame duck coach and McCarthy, but I doubt very much Jerry's going to fire himself.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Jerry's certainly not getting rid of himself. What?
Oh, there you go. See, I told you I had to roll.
Speak it into existence. Breaking news from our producer, Joe Frizzo, in the last few moments. As we were discussing, and as Joe Ranieri basically said it, the Chicago Bears have, in fact, fired Shane Waldron, the offensive coordinator. Not the head coach, Matt Eberflus, but Shane Waldron has been fired by the Bears. Joe, anytime you make a change in your coaching staff, it is a last-ditch effort to hold on to your influence and power in the organization. It's a few weeks too late to dismiss Shane Waldron at this point. Again, I still think it's only a matter of time until Eberflus is also looking for a new job. But I guess a little bit of positive change, at least to see what Caleb Williams can now do under a new offensive scheme, because Shane Waldron was certainly not the answer.
No, he was not. So immediately, let's see what the odds are for Chicago this week, as the entire world will look to bet them to get one of those, fired maybe coach situations going here, where if you really think Waldron was the issue, and he certainly wasn't helping, do you think that maybe, just maybe, this motivates the Chicago Bears team to turn this thing around? I have my doubts, though, Ben. Big time, I have my doubts.
6.5-point underdog at home against the Packers. Again, it's not quite the interim bump for the OC that we know for the head coach. I still think Matt Eberflus is the guy to prepare a team, and he has done a terrible job at that. Shane Waldron offensively, though, now fired from his last two jobs.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Offensive coordinator is no more, fired this morning. The first move of many changes that we expect to this coaching staff, but it is a good move to get rid of him. His Bears offense, Joe, had not scored a touchdown and had not is past tense. It's still currently happening. Has not scored a touchdown in its last 23 offensive possessions. 23 drives without a touchdown. That is insanity. It was the right move made by the Bears. Again, we expect more to happen, but I will just finish with this. Sometimes it is not when in the draft order you are selected, who you are drafted in front of, so on and so forth. It is the situation and the scenario you find yourself in. Jaden Daniels went to a wonderful spot. Dan Quinn has been a successful NFL head coach, and he brought in a great offensive play caller. We can question Cliff Kingsbury in terms of his head coaching acumen, but a great offensive play caller in Cliff Kingsbury. We are seeing the results right away in Washington. C.J. Stroud, rookie head coach in DeMeco Ryans, who brings in a great staff around him with Bobby Slowick as the OC. The great results. Bryce Young has now had two head coaches in his year and a half in the NFL. And when you look at Caleb Williams, he will have his second offensive play caller in only 10 games in his NFL career. Again, it is bad news for the Bears. It's bad news for Caleb Williams because more than likely, Joe, it's not just a new offensive play caller for the remainder of the year. It's a new offensive scheme to learn starting next year as well, because I don't think this move saves face for Matt Eberfluser to remain the head man moving forward into 2025.
And again, the numbers are there. And this is always going to have been the problem with a number one draft pick as a quarterback, right? When you look at the numbers here, Ben, you've got to have a system in place in which is built to give this kid, because it's not like Caleb Williams was a finished product out of USC. There were a lot of issues at USC that people were scratching their heads at that thought Daniels was a better number one pick, right? And those issues have not been corrected from USC. He's got 38 sacks this year. He's taken 38 sacks. He's taken 15 alone over the last two games. That is more than three teams have allowed all season. You didn't build up the offensive line. You're not designing plays that put him in a position to be successful and comfortable. The only reason you have 38 sacks is because he's not comfortable in making the right read. That's a coaching problem, Ben. It's always been a coaching problem, and they have done nothing to help him succeed in this spot. They've set him up to fail at this point.
And it is an interesting fine line, right? That distinction between some of those wow Heisman moment plays for Caleb Williams against college competition and now trying to do that in the NFL, oftentimes running for his life, but extending the play, trying to break the pocket and make a throw that just is not available in the NFL. We'll have more on Chicago as we learn developments who the acting OC is going to be. We talked to you about the quarterback news in New York. That's with the Giants. Brian Daboll, non-committal about who the starter is moving forward. The G-men lose last week in Munich on the bye in week 11, week 12 and beyond. Is it Danny Dimes? Could it be Drew Locke? Brian Daboll saying they are, quote, evaluating everything. Now, Daniel Jones hasn't been awful this year. He hasn't been great. Here are the numbers, right? Nothing really to be like, oh, my God, that's abhorrent. I can't even, my eyes are bleeding looking at that. But it's not great. It's about what Daniel Jones is. The issue is for the New York Giants giving him the contract extension. The only good thing, Joe, about that contract extension awarded by Joe Shane and Brian Daboll, enough to pay him after leading New York to a playoff win 2 years ago now in 2022, was the fact it was front-loaded. All the guaranteed money is done after this year, thus your escape hatch to get out. Buy or sell. Daniel Jones has played his final snap for the New York Giants.
I don't know that he's played the final snap, because it's not like you have his heir apparent behind you. And, you know, the thing with Daniel Jones, and I think you said it there, it's not that he's been playing terrible. The problem is the Giants, and I don't think they ever have, they've never actually won games because of him. They've won games in spite of him, but he's never really been the guy that kind of elevated the team, put him on his back here. They have figured out ways to win games in other avenues, right? And at this point, what are you going to replace him with? Drew Lock? We already know that's not the answer. So you're already paying him. You're going to take not a crazy financial hit next year. I think if they release him, it's not a terrible hit. So if he's healthy, you play him until he's not healthy or can't play, and then you just reevaluate. I mean, the Giants are getting worse in other avenues, not just the quarterback position as well, which is a reflection on Dable.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, Joe, the question for the Giants is more than likely going to be, what are they going to do with the GM and coaching staff that will draft the next quarterback? Right. Because they are, right? It's almost like the Mike McCarthy situation, a lame duck QB in Daniel Jones. Drew Lock is not your answer. He could be a Band-Aid, but a Band-Aid for what? It's not like you're going to make the postseason with this current team right now. Your focus is on the future. And frankly, Joe, although nobody would admit it out loud, the Giants should be losing games to better their draft position, to be in the top five, to pick Shedeur Sanders or Quinn Ewers or whoever that top prospect is deemed to be for the New York Giants. So I'm not really sure Daniel Jones has played his last snap. I'll sell that idea. We've got two more buy or sell questions on the other side, but let's show you the next conversation. The Philadelphia Eagles, who have won five straight games, they have covered in 3 of 5. And perhaps this last week in Dallas, although expected as a 7.5-point road favorite against the Cowboys at the Star, the Eagles look great. They hammered Dallas. They did exactly what they should, even exceeding the odds expectation, winning 34-6. Covering is that 7.5-point favorite. 12.5, the updated win total for the Eagles. -240 to win the NFC East ahead of a huge divisional duel on Thursday night. And there are the main points: the NFC title price and the Super Bowl number. So, Joe, after the break, I'm going to ask you about the Philadelphia Eagles and your outlook for the Birds the remainder of the way. And then another birded team also next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
So we showed you the odds for the Philadelphia Eagles. Now 7-2 atop the NFC East, winners of 5 consecutive games. But Joe, at times throughout this 5-game win streak, it hasn't been overly optimistic for the Eagles. A couple of really good wins by 20 points on the road in Cincinnati, but a couple of games were against the Browns out of a bye, when they were still figuring things out offensively with Deshaun Watson, or in a game where they were more than a touchdown favorite at home against the Jags. Jacksonville had a shot late. The Eagles haven't felt overly great about what they have done. But now I think that tide is starting to turn. The Eagles, again, 5 straight games, +460 to win the NFC at this moment, and a 10-1 price to win Super Bowl 59. We expected the Eagles to be a Super Bowl frontrunner entering this year, now tied for the 4th best price to win that Lombardi alongside San Francisco. So the buy or sell question is this: the Philadelphia Eagles have somehow become underrated.
They have, and I am buying that, but the reality is I don't know how much longer, Ben, we can buy that concept here, simply because, and we had talked about it, Vic Fangio, everywhere he has gone as a defensive coordinator, the defenses at the end of the year were night and day compared to what they look like in the beginning of the year. Why?
Sure.
Is because his schemes and concepts, it's an adjustment period for teams because not a lot of guys can run the defense that he runs. So it takes guys a little bit while. And Ben, the reason that they were a favorite to start the year is simply because the defensive side of the ball was ridiculous how much talent. And then you figure they bring in Fangio, they're going to be unstoppable. Well, they were anything but unstoppable. Teams were running them over early because Fangio, again, takes a little time for guys to get it. And if you look at what they just did and what they've been doing here over the last couple of weeks, The defense is why I am continuing to think that they are being undersold, because teams think it might just be the Cowboys. I don't think so. I think the defense is why you should be buying a lot of Philadelphia Eagles stock right now.
And that's what I think is the buy. I actually don't buy. They're underrated. The plus 460 price now after the market has shifted following week 10 is the second best in the NFC, even the Eagles moving in front of the San Francisco 49ers. I don't think they're overrated, underrated, properly rated right now for Philadelphia. But I agree with Joe. This looks to be the NFC championship contending team that I expected them to be. I have an Eagles ticket to win the NFC East. They're now greater than a $2 favorite. I believe the Eagles will play in the NFC Championship game. We gave out our year-long predictions before the 2024 season began. I had the Eagles winning the Super Bowl against the Cincinnati Bengals. So this is where I thought the Eagles would be. It was slower to start, but to your point, Joe, one of the main reasons I started to buy back into the Eagles entering this year, the upgrade at the coordinator positions like we saw in 2022, Kellen Moore offensively, that Eagles offense finding its groove, and that defense with Vic Fangio, one of the best defensive minds still in the sport. Mm-hmm. Huge game on Thursday, by the way, for that NFC East title race. Philly now in front of the Commanders by a half game. Washington 7-3. The Eagles 7-2. The Birds a 3.5-point home favorite on Thursday night to kick off week number 11. Now to another birded team, that being the Arizona Cardinals. Joe, the Arizona Cardinals are the best team in the NFC West record-wise right now. Two games above 500, sitting atop the division. Minus 132 to win the to make the playoffs, plus 140 to win the divisional crown. I believe still that the San Francisco 49ers have the best price in the NFC West. Just checking that. Yes, they do, by 35 cents at plus 105. But you see the NFC price in that Super Bowl number. Buy or sell, Joe Ranieri. The Arizona Cardinals are a legitimate NFC contender.
I think they absolutely are, and I'll tell you why, Ben. Just the eye test alone. You love teams that seem to be getting better as the season progresses. The biggest question wasn't talent. It was the young defensive side of the ball, and would they be right able to hold up? Well, that defensive side of the ball has been getting better and better. We know Kyler Murray was more than capable of being a menace to other teams. He's got some weapons now, but it's the defense that makes this team worth buying because they're getting better. I would almost compare what Gannon's doing there to what Dan Campbell has done to Detroit. Do not be shocked if we're having a different conversation about the Cardinals in a year from now.
At least from a cover perspective, the Lions were so great at covering numbers when the odds did not expect wins as an underdog. With Jonathan Gannon, 14-10 ATS as a dog. More on the early line next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Let's get you set for a huge weekend in the National Football League. Week number 11 starts in just 2 days. We'll look at the week opener in Philadelphia between the Eagles and the Commanders in just a matter of moments. But, Joe, we start with the game of the year 3 as we are coining it, and it should live up to that hype. It is in Western New York on Sunday afternoon. Not Sunday Night Football, but in that 4:25 p.m. Eastern window of those marquee games. The Buffalo Bills host the Kansas City Chiefs. The Bills, a slight 1.5-point home favorite. Total stands at 45 and a hook. Of course, Kansas City, the lone remaining undefeated team in the NFL, a perfect 9-0, but just 5-4 ATS. Buffalo has won 5 straight. They are now 8-2. They have covered in 4 of these previous 5 consecutive wins. Joe, just saw this stat earlier from ESPN's Field Yates. Since the merger in the National Football League in 1970, here's a really quirky fact. This is just the 5th game between 2 teams with at least 8 wins week 11 or later in an NFL season. You would think there probably was a couple more times that we had some good football teams squaring off. No, this is just the 5th time since 1970 that in week 11 or later in an NFL calendar, two teams with at least 8 wins face off against another. The previous two, the Chiefs played in the game, and in the previous two, the Chiefs did fall. Here is Kansas City as an underdog for the second time this year. They won outright by double digits in San Francisco in the Super Bowl 58 rematch. What will we see here in the AFC divisional round rematch from a season ago, now in the regular season?
Yeah, the thing that scares me here, Ben, is that the entire world is running to bet Buffalo in this game here. And they're getting a lot of love, thinking that at some point the luck has got to run out for Kansas City, right? And like, I'd rather be lucky than good. Am I right, Ben, in spots here? I mean, Kansas City, as fortunate as they have been in some games, they are winning one-score games because they put themselves in a position to win one-score games at the end of it, right? Blocked field goal. They had almost blocked one, or it wasn't an anomaly. They had almost blocked one earlier in the game as well. So they make things happen. That's what championship teams do. And listen, we all know Buffalo beats Kansas City during the regular season. They don't beat them in the playoffs. And that's the whole key here. So I don't think this ever gets to 3, by the way. I think it's going to be 1.5. 2.5, somewhere in that ballpark there. It's never going to get to a field goal. The books are going to keep it under. To me, if you really like Kansas City, use Kansas City in a teaser spot in a bunch of different other games, which will work. Get them up over a touchdown. I still think it's a one-score game, Ben, one way or the other with these two teams, but I would not be running and backing a side here. I'd much more look at the teaser opportunities between these two teams.
So, since the start of the 2021 season, these two teams have met 6 times, 3 in the regular season, 3 in the postseason. To Joe's point, Buffalo has won all 3 in the regular season. In fact, all 3 in the regular season in Arrowhead, with the Bills winning outright. But what matters most? That playoff stage. It is the most significant. And that is where KC performs. They have bounced the Buffalo Bills from playoff contention 3 of the last 4 years. AFC Championship game in 2020 season, but of course played in January 2021. And then in the divisional round, 2 of the last 3 years. That is where Kansas City has always held the upper hand over Buffalo. So even if the Bills win at home as a very slight favorite, we'll do the same thing. Does Buffalo have KC's number? No. Just know the playoffs is much, much more important than what we are seeing here. But again, Joe, maybe it's not just who wins this game and who would have the advantage in a presumptive rematch at some point in the postseason. It's the outlook for both. Kansas City is a minus 400 favorite, now minus 390, but basically $4 odds on favorite to be the number one overall seed in the AFC. We can question just how dominant nor impressive they have been in this perfect 9-0 start. One thing you cannot question, where it puts them in pole position to be that top team in the AFC, to not have to do what they did last year for the first time in any of their 6 appearances in the AFC Championship game with Patrick Mahomes, win one on the road, and host all of the AFC postseason in Arrowhead. That's why this game would be huge for Buffalo, because here's where things work right now. Let's say the Bills win, right, as they are slightly favored to do. Kansas City's first loss, the Chiefs are 9-1. Buffalo has won 6 straight. They are 9-2. KC, though, still has the head-to-head tiebreaker over the Baltimore Ravens, who have the second best price to win the AFC crown. The Ravens still have the head-to-head tiebreaker against the Buffalo Bills. So KC still in that pole position to be the number one seed in the AFC, and that's important to put in the context of this game on Sunday as well.
Yeah, there is ramifications to this game here. I mean, the Chiefs have done exactly what they've needed to do to this point. It hasn't been pretty. They're not steamrolling teams, but you know what they're doing? They're racking up the W's. At the end of the day, that is all that matters, and Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid know that. We also know that Patrick Mahomes and his record as an underdog, Ben, 11-3 straight up, 12-1 against the number. It is pretty darn impressive here. Will the game mean more to Buffalo? I can make the argument that Buffalo doesn't care because Buffalo knows they got to face him again in January. Yeah. And that's the only game that's going to matter. So it'd be great to beat him here, but I do think it's not the end. This isn't the Super Bowl for Buffalo. Sure. Buffalo knows this means nothing. They've beaten him before in the regular season. Yeah. It's the game in January that is going to be for all the marbles. So I think either Buffalo wins this by a million points or Kansas City does what they've been doing all year long, kicks a last second field goal to win it.
And Joe, that's well said when you talk about the scope of this game for both organizations. After one of the best football games we have ever seen in the AFC division round back in 2021, you all remember it, the 13 seconds between the Chiefs and the Bills. That following regular season in 2022 felt like Buffalo's Super Bowl to answer back in KC. This not so much. The Bills know the Chiefs have had the better of them in the postseason. The Bills know overall that their season is not defined by a fifth consecutive AFC East, despite the fact they were not the preseason favorites in what was expected to be a competitive division. The Bills are the only team above 500. The Bills are the only team that is three games below 500 or better than three games below 500 in the AFC East. Buffalo knows it's the playoff price. It's that plus 410 number of actually winning an AFC championship and playing in a Super Bowl in what is going to be their fifth consecutive season of winning the division. That is going to be the lasting impact of 2024 in Western New York. And the Chiefs also know their season is always defined by Super Bowl success, off to a great start in trying to contend for a third consecutive Lombardi Trophy. And Joe, here's one of the interesting things when you look at the numbers. The Chiefs an underdog, that's a big part of it. 45.5 is the total. The Chiefs defense, once again, winning the day, finding different ways to win for an offense that's really middle of the pack once again. It was the story last year. KC was an underdog in three playoff games, every game since the opening round when they were on the road. They went to Buffalo, they won outright as a dog. They went to Baltimore, they won outright as a dog. They beat the Niners outright as an underdog in Super Bowl 58 in Las Vegas. Since the start of last year, Kansas City is a perfect 5-0 outright as an underdog. It's the story of this season. It's the story of these two organizations. It does not diminish the importance or the magnitude of Sunday, however, in Western New York. Mm-mm. It's a game of the year contender for a reason. Thursday night in Philly, next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Live right here on the early line as we get you ready already for week number 11 of the NFL season. The marquee matchup on Sunday in Western New York between the Bills and the Chiefs. And a huge, huge game to start week number 11 on a Thursday night in Philadelphia. A second great Thursday night football game on a short week in a row. A second consecutive incredibly impactful divisional duel. It's the Eagles and the Commanders for the top spot in the NFC East on Thursday. As it stands right now, Philadelphia is 7-2. The Commanders, after their loss on Sunday by only a single point at home to Pittsburgh, 7-3. Philly has moved in front in the NFC East. They're greater than a $2 favorite to claim the divisional crown for a second time in the last 3 years. That three is no longer at on the hook. It's 3.5 in favor of Philadelphia. Over under, Joe, for a short week Thursday night game, stands at 49.5. What a way to start week number 11. What do you expect?
I don't expect 49.5 points, I'll tell you that. I think you're out of your mind. I think this is way too high, given how Philadelphia is going to like to play this game. Philadelphia is not going to want to get into some crazy shootout offensively, not to mention that I don't think it's going to happen. Don't forget, I loved the over in Washington-Pittsburgh because I thought Pittsburgh defensively had kind of cakewalked through the season with the offenses they faced, and I thought Washington would be the first real test. And Washington won early in that test in the game. But you know what? Adjustments in the second half, that Washington offense didn't look anything like it looked in the first half. So I do think that this Philadelphia defense riding high right now is going to cause misery for this Washington offense on a short week. And oh yeah, you know, Philadelphia, they're going to dare Washington to stop them on the ground. I don't think Washington will stop them on the ground. I would anticipate a lot of time of possession and running in this game for Philadelphia. I don't see how we're getting over 49.5 points.
Last week, we had that short week divisional duel between the Bengals and the Ravens with a very lofty short week total. The first in nearly three NFL seasons that was north of 50, 52.5. And again, that stood no chance, 35-34, the Ravens winning that game, of course. And Joe, it makes sense, right, to see 49.5. You can understand the thought behind that number. Washington over in 7 of 10 games. Philadelphia has been great offensively as of late. 34 on the road against Dallas. 28 the week prior at home against Jacksonville. 37 the week before that on the road in Cincinnati. Again, all of those things track. But to your point, Joe, Philadelphia, the reason we believe them to be a true contender once again, as we might have anticipated entering the year, is because of that defense. We've said it a few times, 5-game win streak for the Birds, covering in 3 of the 4. Only twice, though, as a favorite. Short favorite against the Giants a couple of weeks back. And then, of course, last week against the shorthanded Cowboys. Both of those games well under because the Eagles defense allowed a total of 9 points. Now, I don't think they're keeping Washington to single digits necessarily, but 49.5 is a lot for a short week Thursday night football game. If this was Sunday, if it was in Washington, maybe it's a different story. But it's short week for a young Commanders team still traveling. But I do want to give Washington its credit, Joe, because they haven't been an underdog, weirdly, since week number 6. They've been favored in 4 consecutive games. How quickly the odds makers can change their tune on a rookie quarterback under a first-year head coach in this city and organization. They were an underdog 4 times in their first 6 games of the year. Sure, just 2-2 against the spread and also straight up. But in their 2 non-covers, season and career debut for Jaden Daniels on the road in Tampa against, at that time, a good Bucs team. And Joe, they technically did not cover in week number 6 against the Ravens in Baltimore, taking on Baltimore when they were a 6.5-point underdog at close, and they lost that game by a touchdown. But they were highly competitive. I don't think this is a blowout, but just with it being a short week, Thursday night game, and Washington has to travel to Philadelphia, that's really where I give the Eagles the edge.
Yeah, and don't forget, Marshawn Lattimore should be in the mix this week in the secondary for Washington as well. So I think this is going to come down to, I think Brian Robinson Jr. should be back. I think this is going to be much more defense-oriented this game here, and nobody knows Sirianni in Philadelphia better than Dan Quinn. Do they, Ben? Am I missing something here? Since his defenses in Dallas had to go up to him twice a year, every year. So he knows Sirianni. He knows Hurts. He knows this offense, including Saquon Barkley. So I do think this is going to be much more of a defense-oriented game. And who can establish the run in time of possession, I think, is ultimately who's going to win this game. And I do think Washington has a good shot of pulling the upset.
Yeah, listen, it's only 3.5-point spread, and the Commanders have been so good. They've already exceeded expectation. The win total entering the year was 6.5. They already are over that number with 7 wins. There was a thought, Joe, they might be competitive because of Dan Quinn's coaching pedigree and a good offensive situation for the number 2 overall pick with Cliff Kingsbury. They are so much better than that. The Eagles, again, will enter week 11 in the top spot by 0.5 in the NFC East, and they are the hefty favorites at -240. Joe, you see those numbers in comparison. We talked about Philadelphia, still a 12-1 price and a 25-1 number for the Commanders to maybe even contend for a Lombardi Trophy. If the Commanders do come up short in the divisional championship race in the NFC East, I do not believe the Commanders are going to miss out on the playoffs, and neither do the odds makers. Minus 750 for Washington. Still, in my mind, and I don't think it's a crazy hot take, in fact, very lukewarm, the Commanders are a playoff team this season.
I no doubt about it. They certainly have been through this point, and I love the Lattimore move, where they're actually pushing all in here, Ben, to try to make sure they get to the playoffs this year. So all signs go, as long as they can keep Daniels upright and not get him killed, I think the sky is the limit for this Washington team moving forward.
And when you look at the schedule, they have to play Philadelphia twice, could decide the division. But outside of that, maybe Atlanta, the most difficult game, college football next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
It's not just the NFL into week number 11. It's the college football season into week number 12. Our third to last Saturday of the regular season in this final month of the college football calendar is not necessarily the greatest, perhaps. It gets really good next week in week 13 and the week after, of course, those regular season finales. But there is a really good one and a hugely significant game in the SEC under the lights and between the hedges on Saturday night in Athens, Georgia. Georgia will take on Tennessee. We will see how far the Dogs drop in the CFP rankings that will be revealed on this Tuesday evening. The odds makers expect a bounce back and not much drop off for this Georgia team. 9.5-point favorite at home in Athens against Tennessee. The Vols, Joe, just one loss. That's it. The upset against Arkansas and some quality wins this year. How important is this game on Saturday night in Athens?
Well, it's huge for Georgia because there's no more room for error, right? They are in serious danger of missing the playoffs here. Now they've got to take a pretty good, by the way, Tennessee defense. If you thought Ole Miss's defense was underrated last week, Ben, yeah, this Tennessee defense has been pretty underrated here as well. They, too, kind of in a must-win situation here. But my goodness, I mean, we got to stop getting out of this mindset that this is the Georgia of years past. It is not. They got beat for four quarters, Ben, in that game against Ole Miss. Carson Beck looks like he's got the yips. He's got no idea what he's doing anymore. The defense is very beatable. Yeah, this isn't just back Georgia because they lost. And by the way, is the Tennessee freshman quarterback available? Is he playing? Is he healthy enough to play? Oh, boy. Tennessee, to me, is a very, very tough team for Georgia to have to face after losing to Ole Miss, because I think both offensively should be able to move the ball rather easily on this Georgia defense, because we know Ole Miss did. I don't see why Tennessee won't.
Yeah, absolutely so. And Joe, I'm a little bit mad at myself because 2 weeks ago, I looked at the trends, I looked at the numbers, and I said Ole Miss Arkansas under. And the game was so over that I second-guessed myself, thinking we might see an under between two good defenses, one being elite on Saturday in Oxford. And that elite defense right now is not Georgia. They are improving from where they were in the opening month and a half of this year. Very far from elite in what we have come to know the last three seasons under Kirby Smart. Then they went out there and looked elite against Texas in Austin and not too shabby against Florida the following week or their following game after. But Joe, the elite defense last week in the Grove, that was Ole Miss. I crunched the numbers. I knew how good Ole Miss was. So mad at myself for not taking the under. So my first thought in this game is under 48.5, because again, there was one elite defense entering this matchup. And it's not Georgia. Mm-hmm. It's James Pierce and the Volunteers. Ole Miss had 9 TFLs, tackles for loss, and 5 sacks against UGA this past Saturday. They forced 3 turnovers, 2 multiple from Carson Beck, who, by the way, has had multiple turnovers in all 4 games for the Dogs this year in SEC competition, where they have been less than a 3-score favorite. It's only 9.5 at home in Athens, just saying. And if the Volunteers are going to struggle because of what the offense puts out there and the injury uncertainty around Nico Iamaleava right now, who did exit the win for Tennessee after a strong start against Mississippi State early on Saturday, you're going to have a lot of questions about what the Volunteers' offense can put up, because the Vols' offense that maybe you remember from beating Kent State 71-zip has not been to that ilk in SEC play. Better by far the last 2 weeks, but not elite either. Dylan Sampson is the running back for the Volunteers. Huge edge for Tennessee because Georgia's offense stinks. Carson Beck has greatly regressed, and they do not have a ground game as they did the last 3 or 4 seasons in Athens either. My first thought, Joe, can only be the under. Will I have the stones to go back and go under 48.5? That, I guess, is the question.
Yeah, and listen, when you have a quarterback with as little confidence as he's playing with right now, Carson Beck, and you've got a team in Tennessee, Ben, who we all know likes to step on your throat early and bury you, man, Tennessee first half is the only way I would look in this game. Expect them to come out firing.
Yeah, it's a good point as well, Joe, of how to break up this game, and a huge one in the SEC. Plenty more in hour 3 next.
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 50% bonus on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.